Epilogue. The idea is right, its time is now. It was Muhammad Ali, the world champion heavyweight boxer, who said, "Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth." Like the work of housewives of yesteryear, the task of preventing and combating corruption is never done. This perennial problem is because of human nature. Research has revealed that in any given society, about 10% of the population are incorruptible, about 10% will always behave corruptly, and about 80% could go either way, depending on the circumstances. A lack of deterrence, poor understanding of the implications of acting corruptly, poor law enforcement, impunity from the consequences, and a culture of entitlement are all circumstances that stoke the incidence of corruption. Conversely, strong institutions backed by strong laws that are efficiently implemented, an educated public savvy to the corrosive nature of corruption, independent and effective anti-corruption machinery, a functional criminal justice system with the resources and capacity to arrest, prosecute, and convict those involved in corruption, and a culture of responsible, accountable, and responsive governance, both generally and in relation to the procurement of public goods and services, all combine to create circumstances in which the corrupt cannot thrive. November 2015, Accountability Now partnered with the Konrad Adenauer Foundation to present a Pan-African Conference on Combating Corruption. Held in Cape Town, the conference was attended by a variety of role players from the legal professions, the judiciary, the civil society, both in South Africa and other African countries. At the end of the proceedings, delegates adopted the following resolution. Cape Town Declaration, 5th of November, 2015. 1. Noting the corrosive and pervasive nature of corruption in the world today, both in the private and public sectors. 2. Identifying corruption as a symptom of moral depravity inimical to respect for and promotion of human rights, especially those of the poor and marginalized. 3. Recognizing that it is the duty of states, commercial enterprises, and all right-thinking people to prevent and combat corruption, because corruption is generally a serious and deplorable crime. 4. Appreciating that constitutional democracy under the rule of law and social stability are not served when corruption is endemic. 5. Noting that the widely accepted criteria for effective and successful anti-corruption entities include specialization by, training of, independence for, guaranteed resources for, and security of tenure of staff of anti-corruption entities. 6. Acknowledging that corruption in Africa has reached levels that threaten and undermine economic progress and growth throughout the continent, despite the adoption and domestication of international, continental, and regional instruments of international law that commit most countries in Africa to prevent, combat, investigate, and prosecute corruption. 7. Concluding that corruption with impunity is inhibiting investment, increasing the cost of conducting business, undermining service delivery, and exacerbating poverty in Africa, and that corruption must be curbed to facilitate higher and more equitable economic growth. Conference resolves that governments should establish, strengthen, promote, and where appropriate, constitutionally entrench anti-corruption entities that comply with the criteria noted in Clause 5 above, both structurally and operationally. In the formulation of policy and laws, corruption should universally be regarded as an infringement of human rights, which is both immoral and unethical. Existing anti-corruption entities should be assessed and reviewed for their structural and operational compliance with the criteria noted in Clause 5 above, for the purpose of making adjustments and reforms where they are required. Greater protection and incentivizing of whistleblowers, whether or not they are employees, should be considered in order to fortify this important aspect of the combating of corruption through appropriate investigation, prosecution, and punishment of the corrupt in both the private and public sectors. The nurturing of anti-corruption entities, both in the state and in civil society, through public education and the stimulation of the necessary political will to regard corruption as immoral, unethical, and as a crime that violates human rights and undermines constitutionalism, should be encouraged through all means available in all forms of media. A sanction system such as that developed by the World Bank should be considered for implementation at the level of national jurisdiction in relation to all public procurement in whatever sphere of government, including procurement by state-owned enterprises. The private sector and civil society organizations should be encouraged to adopt and implement anti-corruption compliance programs as contemplated by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Governments should establish a framework for the open and comprehensive declaration of assets and interests by all political office bearers and public officials. By promoting this resolution, Accountability Now is continuing its efforts to raise public awareness of the pernicious nature of corruption and the need to implement all the resolutions taken at the conference, not only in South Africa, but everywhere. As noted earlier, it continues to advocate the creation of an integrity commission and has made representations to the National Assembly Select Committee on Constitutional Review with a view to stimulating the political will to break with the dispensation that has been in place since the Scorpions were disbanded. In our view, this can best be achieved by supplementing the Hawks, whose mandate is far wider than corruption, with a high-powered commission devoted solely to preventing, combating, investigating, and prosecuting corruption in all its manifestations. In Glenister II, the Constitutional Court provided the recipe for designing effective anti-corruption machinery of state, derived from research conducted by the OECD. It has been tried and tested in countries with far lower levels of corruption than South Africa. In terms of this recipe, the following five criteria, represented by the acronym STIRS, must be satisfied in order to deal effectively with corruption. Specialization of dedicated staff, structure, and operations. Trained operatives with the necessary forensic, investigative, prosecutorial, and educational skills. Independence from political interference and influence, both structurally and operationally. Resources which are guaranteed and adequate for the task at hand at any given time. And security of tenure of office for the personnel of the anti-corruption entity. The Hawks do not measure up to these criteria and will never do so while they are located within the police, which compromises their independence and secure tenure of office. There are many illustrations of this, ranging from the dismissal of General Anwar Dramat to the repeated efforts to dislodge General Johan Boysen. Poor leadership choices have also affected the efficiency of the Hawks. The impacts of these factors are evident in the precipitous decline in rates of arrest from 14,793 in 2010-2011 to 5,847 in 2014-2015. Indications were that this decline in productivity would accelerate in 2016. There is no silver bullet for dealing with corruption. However, the creation of a new Chapter 9 institution that would slot in neatly between the public protector and the auditor general would go a long way toward addressing the culture of impunity that has taken root in all spheres of government. The auditor general, whose office is tasked with auditing and reporting on the spending of public money, is the canary in the coal mine when it comes to identifying where corruption is worst in financial terms. The main mandate of the Office of the Public Protector is to examine public maladministration. It does not prosecute the corrupt, but it does have the power to take appropriate remedial action suggested by the facts uncovered in the course of its investigations. This power is wide enough to refer instances of corruption to the criminal justice system, but due to poor relations between the Hawks and the public protector, this doesn't happen all that often. An integrity commission, clothed with the status of a Chapter 9 institution and led by a former judge, would have the gravitas to deal with the organized criminals who are running rings around the state's current anti-corruption machinery. South Africa has good anti-corruption laws. In order to succeed in the war on corruption, those laws need to be properly enforced. The time for an integrity commission is now. The idea is right, and the will to make it happen can be created by the people through civil society institutions, faith-based organizations, commerce and industry, academia, and political parties loyal to the Constitution. With freedom comes responsibility. Active citizens, not passive subjects, are needed to drive the reforms required to reverse corruption and restore our society to a state in which the human rights enshrined in our Constitution will be lived out in practice.